The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game in VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. So much going on. How you doing, Kelly? You good?
I'm doing great. I'm still trying to figure out my coffee routine down here at the D. So, just grab some Dunkin' Donuts downtown today. We're gonna give that a shot on the show today.
You are opting for Dunkin' over the McDonald's coffee that's in the building.
Yeah, the McDonald's in the D is hopping. Yeah, you know, it is. It's a popular spot to be at this time of morning or night, depending on who you are and maybe what the date is. We got an active Fremont Street out there this early on morning after Halloween.
We hope you work it out. We got so much to get to, and literally, like, barely any of it is the actual World Series. We'll get Jason Weingarten to chime in on what is another coin flip tonight as the Rangers take a 3-1 lead in the series last night. We'll talk to Will Hill, all his plays across the sports betting landscape. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, talk NFL with us as well, and our own Mike Pritchard. Pritch, back from Cancun. Oh, we got to find out how he was in Cancun.
Sent me a picture.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Should I just surprise him on air with it?
Yeah, you should.
Yeah,
I think you should. And then, of course, the NFL trade deadline yesterday. We have a coach firing. We got to get into all of it. First of all, 90 seconds on the World Series. Five runs for the Rangers in the second, five runs for the Rangers in the third, all with two out. And the Rangers take a 10-0 lead over the Diamondbacks. They coast into an 11-7 victory. And, Kelly, here are your ratings for games 1, 2, and 3. You ready? Game 1, 9.172 million. Game 2, 8.15 million. Game 3, 8.126 million on Fox. I cannot wait to find out what the number was from last night with that blowout.
Yeah, and on Halloween.
And the biggest crime from our perspective is it's not bettable. It literally was a coin flip yesterday, and it should have been, despite the fact that it got to a 10-0 lead. It's a coin flip today between Eovaldi and Gallen. Again, we'll see if Jason has something to chime in on with that. But good on the Rangers. Bruce Bochy, one win away from his fourth World Series title on the Mount Rushmore of managers, certainly of our lifetime, if not beyond. But the Rangers as a franchise have been one strike away a couple times 12 years ago. So they're certainly not going to take anything for granted down in Texas. But game five tonight at Arizona, where, again, the Rangers, they haven't lost a single game on the road this postseason. Just unbelievable. Okay, NFL trade deadline. Interesting moves yesterday all around the league, specifically when it came to the Washington Commodores. The Commodes decided, right as we were getting off air yesterday, so 22 hours ago, I see it flash up on a screen behind Kelly. Breaking news. Washington trades Montez Sweat, 26th pick in the 2019 NFL draft, who Washington had traded up for in that draft. He has been an awesome player for Washington through the years here. He gets traded to the Bears for a second round pick. When you talk about the Chicago Bears, that's essentially a de facto late first round pick because it's probably going to be a top 40 pick, if you will. So let me just go. If you're a Washington, just to give you the context of the Washington franchise before this season, you had signed Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, your two Alabama defensive tackles to long term deals. Not to mention signing the incomparable Terry McLaurin to a long-term deal and then having, you know, down the road to deal with a possible long-term deal for Sam Howell. And by the way, those who scoff at Sam Howell, I don't know why you're scoffing at Sam Howell. He's done everything great. He just has no offensive line. So he's getting killed. So they had to make a choice. The sort of construct for Washington before this offseason was, okay, you committed that money to Payne and Allen on defense. You can't pay everybody. You're going to have to choose between Montez Sweat and Chase Young. And so the consensus, and I think every Washington fan worth his or her salt, was like, okay, the person to go is Chase Young, because Montez Sweat has been way more productive over the years. So when I saw that come down yesterday, and although Chase Young had played a little better this year, it wasn't enough to change that calculus. When that came down, I was like, oh, wow, they traded Sweat. I get it, though, because it's a great draft pick. I guess they decided they're going to keep Young? No, because then shortly thereafter, Washington trades Chase Young, the number two pick on the 2020 draft, to San Francisco for a third-round draft pick. Now, from a Washington perspective, I get the Sweat trade. I think they probably should have tried to milk more out of the Niners, try to get a second out of them for Chase Young. They did not. They'll get one of San Francisco's compensatory picks in the third round for Chase Young. For the Niners, it's John Lynch once again trying, and good on him for trying to get something going across that defensive line from Nick Bosa. Javon Hargrave, Eric Armstead, Randy Gregory, they've tried lots of things. So they get a rental here at the very least on Chase Young for 8 games, and they'll see how he fares for the Niners. But just to give you, again, just historical context, Chase Young was the number 2 pick, Kelly, in a draft where Joe Burrow went first, Tua went fifth, and Justin Herbert went sixth. You got to make a number 2 pick count. And Chase Young has just been beyond riddled with injuries. He had the ACL injury, had a neck thing at the beginning of this year, but it's really the catastrophic knee injury. But he just hasn't been productive. And also from just a Washington historical perspective, if you go back to the 2001 draft, was it, or the 2000 draft? Don't hold me to that now. But the year where Washington got LeVar Arrington second and Chris Samuels third. Chris Samuels, third pick in the draft, 6-time Pro Bowler, Washington Ring of Fame, exactly what you want with a number 3 pick in the draft. You got to make those picks count. LeVar Arrington, who had a great college career, and it was the beginning, really, was the guy who started the whole Stick City thing at Penn State, wearing number 11, had a great college career, but nobody looks back at LeVar Arrington's pro career and says, oh my God, what a great career. Yet, at this point in his career, and I get it, he's a linebacker, Chase Young's a defensive lineman, at this point in his career, he had already gone to 3 Pro Bowls.
Yeah, that dude was a beast. Yeah.
So even in that historical context, Chase Young has just been this unbelievable underperformer. So love the, you know, Sweat's a great player. I don't know why the Bears were in buy mode, quite frankly, but he's a good player. Washington did very well with that trade, even though I love Sweat. And Chase Young, although I would have wanted more for Washington, I don't think there's anybody shedding a tear in Washington that Chase Young is gone. DeMatha High School's Chase Young, by the way, which is known as a high school basketball powerhouse under Morgan Wooten, more than a football powerhouse. What does it mean in terms of lines this week? Washington goes to a 3.5-point dog against New England. Quite frankly, Kelly, I think that's an overreaction. I would not like race to bet New England on that. To me, that's Washington or not in that game, getting the 3 in the hook. I think the biggest move made yesterday, quite frankly.
Yeah, just real quick, Gil, just to follow up on that. I think that move's probably a little too much, too. I mean, you go by DVOA, Washington with the 30th ranked pass rush in the NFL. It's one of those, okay, you traded away two key pieces, but we always talk about this with college football, right? You traded away 2 key pieces on a front that was already meh at best to bad. How much worse is that really going to make it? Is it worth a move from 2.5 to 3.5? Not really sure on that. I don't know what the Bears are doing. I like Montez Sweat as much as the next guy, but I don't know what that move is.
I think the best move made yesterday, and this, by the way, is also why, for like a Washington perspective, you ended up going around saying, oh, we got a great defensive front, great front 7. Well, you still gave up 38 points to Philadelphia last week, right?
Exactly.
And you're still...
I'm okay with them blowing it up.
You're 31st in scoring defense. You're 29th in yards per game defense. So you got to blow it up. You've already committed $14 million plus annually to Allen and Payne. I think the best move at the trade deadline is one that's not going to be talked about very much yesterday, which is the Jaguars bolstering their offensive line and getting the Vikings Ezra Cleveland, who's another guy like Chase Young, who's on an expiring contract. I think that's exactly what Jacksonville needed to do, bolster that offensive line, whereas a team like Washington, now bolstering themselves with draft picks, ought to commit those assets to offensive line help and help this poor kid Sam Howell. So good on the Jaguars for picking up Ezra Cleveland. The other big move happened, you know, a night after we heard that James Harden was traded in the middle of the night. Middle of the night meaning half the country was already asleep.
Yeah, what's with this?
Last night after 11 p.m. Pacific, Josh McDaniels fired by the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, here's the thing. Those of us who have Matt Eberflus tickets like myself, I had him north of 15-1. You said it off air. Great handicap, bad result. But as soon as the Bears beat the Commodes earlier this year, you knew I wasn't going to win that one, even though it was like well-conceived bet. By the way, he lost his defensive coordinator under strange circumstances earlier this year. The running backs coach just got fired this morning. And yet Eberflus still has a job. But McDaniels.
And they traded. They traded for a big piece yesterday.
That's right.
Like, is he here next year? What are we doing?
I guess. Josh McDaniels, ever since he went 6-0 as the head coach of the Denver Broncos in 2009, his career record, as a head coach in the NFL is 14-33.
Yeah.
14-33. And remember, those first six games, former Broncos linebacker DJ Williams claims they cheated their way to 6-0. He's like, I've never been so prepared for six games in my life. You know what happened? We got found out. Turns out we were cheating the whole time. So Josh McDaniels goes by the wayside. And, you know, we do guessing lines each and every Monday, Kelly. And I just, you know, all the things, there's so many details in every game of every year. If we had to pick one moment in guessing lines this year, a best of moment, I just want to take you back real quick for 30 seconds to week three. The Raiders hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. The score is 23-15. Steelers with 4:35 left in the game. Raiders start at their own 48. They get to a 4th-and-1 at the Pittsburgh 25 with 3:15 left. Snap infraction moves it back to 4th-and-6. And McDaniels inexplicably lines his team up for a field goal. Because if you can cut a one-score game to a one-score game at that point, you just have to do it. And then he got bailed out by a leverage call on the Steelers. It got to 4th-and-4 at the Pittsburgh 8 with 2:25 left, down 8. And he decided to kick a field goal. Daniel Carlson, 26-yarder, 23-18. You know what happened next. Steelers got the first down. They had the ball the rest of the way except for the last 12 seconds. So essentially the Raiders traded a 4th-and-4 at the 8 for a 4th-and-85. Josh McDaniels in one snapshot moment.
Disaster. I like the Bears, though. I don't get what they did yesterday. So you let the coach go, but then you hold on to some of these pieces. You could have gotten a lot for Devontae Adams.
Makes no sense. Congratulations to Antonio Pierce. Big news in the valet of my building this morning. People rejoicing.
Is he your neighbor or something?
Yeah, he's in my building. Antonio Pierce, the interim coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Good on you. We're coming back. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports on the NFL. Next.
The Sports Betting Network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120, including daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all our exclusive betting content for the MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA, and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. To sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Of course, the other big move that happened yesterday, Kelly, and I gave you a multiple choice yesterday on the show. I was like, oh, why do you think Clayton Tune is starting for the Cardinals? And choice A was because there's a trade afoot. And you did not choose choice number A.
I did not choose that. No.
You did not choose that. So Joshua Dobbs traded to the Vikings, which makes complete sense. Vikings with the Kirk Cousins Achilles injury now have Dobbs in the fold, though he will not start this week. But he is, shall we say, on deck.
Yeah, interested to hear what Eric Eager has to say about that, because that is a, we kind of applauded Dobbs for what he did for the Cardinals. We still only get one win out of it. And then are we maybe swinging too far the other way where the Vikings think he's really going to be able to lead you to a playoff berth?
That 7th spot in the NFC is wide open. Eric Eager joins us now, host of the Sumer Sports Show at Sumer Sports. Vice president over there at Sumer Sports is Dr. Eric Eager joining us now. How you doing, Eric?
Gil, Kelly, I'm doing well. Yesterday was kind of a whirlwind, and then for those that were able to stay up till 1 a.m. Eastern, like, they got the final news.
Yes, they got the final news of Josh McDaniels. Let me just ask you this. What of all of that, put it in the blender, what's the single most impactful thing that happened yesterday, either short-term or long-term?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, the Raiders stuff is probably the most impactful, obviously. Now, I think, like, people who are Vegas fans will quip and say, they've changed coaches a million times since, Bill Callahan took them to the Super Bowl in 2002, and nothing's ever changed. But I do think at some point, when the owner, Mark Davis, is paying all this guaranteed money, there is a little bit of, there probably is some soul searching at this point. But as far as on field stuff, I do think it is Josh Dobbs. I think that Minnesota yesterday had a kind of a fork in the road where they could have traded Danielle Hunter for a second round pick. They could have maybe traded Harrison Smith to a contender. And instead, they're like, look at the NFC, easy schedule coming up. we're just going to try to get on the green with our quarterback and lean on Brian Flores' defense that, frankly, has been pretty good, since the early part of the season. And, you know, to me, that's interesting, right? Because that kind of, you know, pushes a few teams down in the NFC. I think that leaves open a playoff spot for Minnesota to come in and take, even though right now they're probably at their weakest.
Yeah, I said in the first segment, I said Ezra Cleveland at Jaguars is the, the sneaky under the radar move for a team yesterday. We're doing power rankings, as everybody does. And I'm just curious because I'm taking a survey. Who do you have 1 through 5 in yours?
Oh, good question. Kansas City is first for me. And SumerSports.com/league table. It's a little bit different than what I'd have internally, but I go Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Philadelphia.
Buffalo's still up there. Cincinnati fourth. I like it. Oh, boy.
We have enough information to know that Cincinnati's back, right?
For sure. Who do you have rated lower than most people do? Like who would look at your rankings and be like, oh, wow. Okay. That's interesting.
Good question. I have Seattle 12th. Maybe that's where people have them, but to me, it's still, I know they're 5-2. I know that they have the division lead. Geno has been okay. It's kind of rough around the edges there right now. Now they did get Leonard Williams, which I'm a fan of. They paid a lot for him, which means that they're kind of going as far as this season, they're going all in. But I like Seattle decently here. As a team that's like overvalued, I would look at Seattle.
What are your favorite plays? What have you bet thus far this week? What are you looking to bet?
So right now, and some of these, I'm going to look at like wildly available. I mean, I do like Kansas City -2, -2.5. I think that is, should be 3. I think people are overreacting to a loss where their quarterback had, the flu. I do like your commies, Gil, at like +3.5 against
too.
New England. I know that a lot of services, when the inside information came out that they were trading both edge players, kind of moved on that. But we need New England to win by margin in an NFL game in 2023. That feels bad. I like Tampa Bay getting a field goal or so in Houston. And then I like the Giants getting, and I'm not exactly sure if that's wildly available anymore, but early in the week, Giants +3, I thought was a solid look. And then lastly, Dallas getting a field goal against Philadelphia, to me. I think that Dallas and Philadelphia are more equally yoked than many people do.
Giants 1-point dogs now against the Raiders. Shop around. We're showing 2 here, consensus. I'm with you on Washington. I just feel like, again, this is a great lesson in, so for the new better or the new-ish better about, what do players mean to a line? And typically, it's only quarterbacks that really move the line with any significance. And here you have 2 edge rushers. And again, I'll say it again, as great as it was walking around saying, oh my God, look at all these players they have on the defensive line and the defensive front. Washington is still ranked 31st in scoring defense, 29th in yards per game on defense. And as much of an impact as Sweat had, collectively, it didn't really amount to much. I mean, that team had so many more problems, offensive line being the biggest, also in the secondary. So I'm not sure in the end, right, removing those players. Somebody argue, oh, well, now they'll suck even more. Yeah, I don't think I'd move that through the 3 on that news. I really don't. So I'm with you. Like, if anything, it's Washington +3.5 in that game to me.
Well, exactly. Actually, I'm working on this a little bit. I can just give you a little bit. Like, my numbers, when you look at non-quarterbacks, you're talking about, like, Myles Garrett's worth about a point. Tyreek Hill's worth about a point. Guys like Denzel Ward worth about a point or so. Like, that's kind of the upper bound as much. Now, the issue is what's called cluster injuries or cluster absences, which is, like, but at defensive end, it's not, like, it's not as big of a deal as, let's say, they traded both of their corners. Like, that would have been a kind of a nonlinear effect. But, to your point, it's moving through the 3, which is a huge percentage change in the game that I don't really understand.
What's the moving forward here? Because we're about to enter about to come to the halfway point of the season. Obviously, it's hard now with buys and it says 17-game schedule for an exact halfway point. But what's the thing that you are most most curious, or your opinion might be the most different from conventional wisdom, where you're like, let me see if this manifests. What excites you the most about the second half of the season?
Good question. To me, it's the AFC East race. I like Buffalo, as I said. I make Miami 8th in power ratings, which, I mean, that's not that much. It's only like a point different than Buffalo. But I'm interested because right now the market has Buffalo as a pretty big underdog to win that division. Whereas I see it like, you know, this weekend, Miami loses Kansas City, Buffalo upsets Cincinnati, and like we're right where we started again. So that's one that I'm interested in. The other one, Gil, is when you think about Monday Night Football, you think about Sunday Night Football, all these games that offenses are actually playing relatively well, but the game still goes under because of pace. And it's because NFL defenses have gotten pretty good at stopping the run, even with light boxes. I'm wondering if we see more passing in the NFL in the second half. Passing success rate, I think people are surprised by this. Passing success rate so far this year is about the same as it was last year. Rushing success rate has taken a nosedive. And, you know, everybody said, oh, this is, you know, the league is cyclical, and now that you have the light boxes, teams are going to run more. For the most part, that has not really materialized, and they haven't run better. And so I wonder if teams adjust and just throw the ball more in the second half and we see more scoring.
Interesting. All right, rapid fire here, because Kelly and I were talking about these three award categories yesterday. I'm curious your take. You can either give us who you think is the person right now or what the best bet is moving forward. MVP, who do you got?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Wow. That would be your bet right now, or you think he is the MVP right now?
Well, he's leading the league in EPA generated per pass play, which is generally the marker that will give you, but he's also what, like 13, 14 to one, depending upon where you look. And so it's also the best bet.
Offensive player of the year. Same question.
Christian McCaffrey is the offensive player of the year right now.
Offensive rookie of the year.
CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud by default.
I mean, he's played well.
Yeah, he has. More than Puka Nacua, huh? Just because he's a quarterback.
Yeah, because, how much longer is Stafford going to play, right? And so this thing's going to kind of go south, I think, for the whole Rams offense. But Stroud elevating a Houston franchise that has been in the dumps for a few years and making it relevant, I think will win him the award.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that last one. Even though, again, I think with the absence of Stafford, all of a sudden Nacua is going to become the man again. That's just my theory. Thank you, Eric. Always a pleasure, man.
Of course. Have a good one.
Dr. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports at @EricEager_ on Twitter. Will Hill next with all his plays.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking a sip, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, we'll talk about adjusted season win totals in the National Football League. I think I have an over, and I think I have an under.
I think that's what I came up with as well.
And I think it's
one under and one over.
And I think it's counterintuitive to strength of schedule as well.
Ooh, ooh. Fancy.
Also later this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke and Kelly Bidlin in a tie for 358th place in Circa Millions, but he's at 60% now or over 60%. So we get to talk about it and put all kinds of pressure on him. You excited?
I'm excited. You're more excited than I am.
Top 100 cash, Kelly.
Hey, man, I played a lot of poker tournaments my day. There's a long way to go. Yeah. Long way to go.
Plenty of time to mess it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Plenty of time to
plummet into the 4,000th place.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is a man who lives a phenomenal life. He's a former first-round pick for the Atlanta Falcons. He's a national champion at the University of Colorado. And he's VSiN's own Mike Pritchard. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great. Gil, Kelly, great to be with you guys. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Not as well as you. Can we show this picture? Kelly, you sent this to Kelly. This is a shot of...
Mike wasn't on last week. He had more important things to do, hanging out in Cancun on this beautiful, beautiful beach.
Mike, let me ask you a question. What are you doing in Cancun this time of year?
Well, Gil, my long tenure in the National Football League, if anything taught me is, you know, you need a bye week. Right. So yeah. I took a bye week from sports betting or betting in the NFL and college football. and went down to La Casa de Playa.
Wow.
And it was awesome. I mean, it's just south of Playa de Carmen, just north of Tulum, and just a beautiful, beautiful resort, and had a fabulous time for about a week. So I took a bye week. There's nothing wrong with that.
Good
I
for like you. It. Over 1.5, Pritch saying the word playa, cashes, plus money. All right. Okay, so the trade deadline yesterday, then Josh McDaniels getting fired deep into the night because apparently the Raiders wanted to Mayflower truck this out of Baltimore kind of thing, so nobody noticed, but we did notice in this day and age. Let's talk about that first. Just your observation as a guy who played the game, were you ever in an environment where, because here, Brent Musburger, let me just say this before you get your answer. Brent Musburger, who we all know and love here at VEASAN's own, founder of VEASAN, he had a really interesting comment when he was watching the Raiders from the stands down. He's not as a play-by-play guy anymore. And he's like, just watch the sideline. He goes, look how far away everybody is from Josh McDaniels. It is really true. Yeah. Like, no one was around him. Did you notice that, Pritch?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there wasn't ever a standard set with the Raiders. And that's one thing I think has to happen with the head coach. You have to create I often say culture, but it's really standard. Because look how players are slipping in their performances, right? Davante Adams dropping balls, and certainly the offense hasn't executed. But there are signs like that. You're right. I mean, I think Brent is astute that way, having covered National Football League, covered sports for as long as he has. Another indicator, too, is are the offensive linemen helping up the quarterback, right? You can see there's a disconnect there. Or is the offensive linemen, because that's Big Brother out there for you. Are the big guys, are the monsters out there helping you up as a skilled position player? If that's not the case, then that team is often disconnected. So there's a lot of indicators. I think when you really look at those things, if you want to focus in it, I know a lot of times with sports betting, we get caught up and consumed by the numbers, right? But body language is so much, because the locker room is so important to make sure everybody's on the same page. And with the Raiders dismissing Josh McDaniels and the GM, obviously that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and the OC as well, gone now as well.
Right, right.
Let me ask you this. Were you ever in a situation as a player where, like, you knew this guy wasn't working out and it just lingered?
You know, I think my third year in Atlanta, you know, there was rumblings because we were underachieving. We made the playoffs my rookie year. And then Jerry Glanville, and certainly, you know, you drafted Brett Favre. Okay. He gets traded away. And then, you know, people's contracts are coming up. And so there was rumblings that, okay, look, my third year, I mean, I knew my contract was up and I knew I was going to be a restricted free agent, and that was going to be a great thing, a lucrative thing. But then, you know, Andre Rison was going to be gone, perhaps a Deion Sanders contract, you know, Michael Haynes, and some of the star players that we had, you know, they just weren't being signed. And so that's when you start to get indicators, especially if the year's going down the drain, down the toilet, that, okay, there's going to be some changes. And, you know, I think Dennis Erickson, too, in Seattle, now that I think about it, a chance to upgrade that with Mike Holmgren. I mean, if you're an owner, if you're a GM, then certainly you're going to look at that situation too. So, yeah, I think throughout the year, you get a feeling that things could happen, things could change, but not in the middle of the season. I've never been a part of a situation where the coach got fired in the middle of the year.
Wow. Yeah. Andre Rison had a thing at the house with left eye. It was a whole story, Kelly, before your time. All right. Trade deadline yesterday. Was there something that stood out above everything else to you where you're like, okay, if it doesn't trigger a bet, it's certainly something that could be very impactful.
Well, I wonder what San Francisco's doing, because they added Hargrave last year or in offseason, and now they're adding Chase, right? And so it's like, what are they doing? I mean, they got Bosa. They just signed him to a last-minute deal, by the way, New defensive coordinator, too. So I don't know if these are signs, because they're on this losing streak, right, the 49ers. I don't know if that's signs of distress or not, because I did make this comment at the beginning of the year, especially with Bosa so long to sign. And I said it on our network that, man, it just feels like this organization is complacent. right? But then they get off to this hot, right? And then they get off to this hot start. They get off to this incredible start. And now all of a sudden, you're like, okay, wait a minute. What are they doing here? What are they telling us? Because I thought that defense was set. I thought that whole team and that whole roster was set. But when injuries happen, we really try to find out, or we start to find out the depth situation. So I think that's happening. And then I don't know what your team out there in Washington's doing. It's wholesale time. It seems like with all the trades that they're making right now.
I think they, hey, look, it's a new owner. That's all. Honestly, everything right. else is just gravy. But I do think they came to the conclusion, to answer your question. I think they're like, look, it's great to have all these names on defense. It's not translating to anything. We're still terrible on defense. They need to repurpose those assets to offensive linemen, secondary players, because this isn't, you can't have Sam Howell killed, you know, in the process of all this. And so, there's Payne and Allen.
But isn't it troubling? Isn't it true that Del Rio's still there, but everybody else is gone?
It's troubling.
The defensive line coach got that.
Troubling that Del Rio is there. It's troubling that Ron Rivera is there, but they'll be gone soon enough. As will the team name, Mike Pritchard. I just want to tell you that.
right.
All that's going to be gone. That's interesting. By the way, I'd add to Javon Hargrave, as I mentioned earlier on the show, Eric Armstead, Randy Gregory.
Yeah.
They signed in San Francisco, hoping that was the answer. So we'll see if Chase Young is the. For Chase Young, this is it, right? It's like, all right, no more excuses. Here you go. Eight games with a great team. See if you can make it happen.
He's a specimen, right? The thing is, okay, is he a motivated specimen? And I guess that's what coaches always fall in love with.
Yeah, it's funny. Someone said he's such a, they didn't use the word specimen, but they said he's such an amazing athlete, such an amazing, well, to use your word, a physical specimen, that you almost worry that a human body can't take that combination of strength and speed. Like, so we'll see if that pans out. The other thing is, it reminds me of, I mentioned LeVar Arrington earlier in the show. One's a linebacker, one's a defensive lineman. But I remember when Warren Sapp had the words about LeVar Arrington, he goes, oh, there's Mr. Can't Get It Right. So all the talent in the world, but Warren Sapp said to me, you can't get it right. You can't figure out that you're supposed to stay in, you know, you got to do your job. You can't ad lib on every single play. And there was a little of Chase Young with that too earlier in his career. So hopefully he purges that. That's been a knock as well. Okay, here we are. Second half of the season is almost upon us. And I'm just going to ask you the basic question that your non-betting friends ask you. And I'll ask you this of you, Pritch. Who do you think is in the Super Bowl right now? Oh, forget the Super Bowl. Who's both in the NFC and the AFC championship games?
Well, I'll start with the AFC. I mean, we're going to see a litmus test, I think, this weekend with Miami and Kansas City. Because I think Kansas City's kind of been in stealth mode and that caught up with them last week against Denver. But that could refocus a team, right? That needs to be focused because they're so good. And then Miami, I think we'll find out a lot about Miami. As well. So in the NFC, it's so wide open, but the Eagles have been consistent. I'm not afraid to go out there. I think Dallas still can put it together. If they all get on the same page, Gil and Kelly, they all get on the same page. And then I'm still real curious about San Francisco, but I'm sticking with the leaders because I'll say this at nauseum. There's more constants in the National Football League than outliers. And we get energized or excited about the outliers and the special teams and the unique situations. But a lot of teams get it wrong. I mean, look at the Raiders, right? A lot of franchises repeatedly get it wrong. So the teams that are consistent and getting it right with the strong rosters and if they're healthy, you know, that's what I'm focusing in on right now. And those are the leaders of both conferences.
Yeah, I grew up on a sports talk radio host by the name of Ken Beatrice in Washington. And he used to say, not only did he used to say every good and bad organization starts at the top of whatever walk of life, but he always used to say, we always think, oh, there's good and bad plumbers. There's good and bad dentists. And because there's only 32 of these jobs, we always think, well, there got to be 32 great coaches. No, there's good and bad coaches, and they make it all the way to this level as well. It's true of football. Right. What's true in the rest of the world. Thank you, Pritch. Always a pleasure, and glad to have you back from Cancun. Hopefully you can get back there soon enough.
Absolutely. Pleasure is mine. Thanks, guys.
Mike Pritchard, man of the world. Cancun midseason. We'll come back. Adjusted season win totals. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.